Thank you very much for tuning in to another episode of Live with the Infidel Guy. I'm your host, Reggie Finley, resident skeptic. It is 8:02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for joining us. Check us out on the web at www.infidelguy.com. Of course, the intro song there is Open Your Eyes and See. I guess that song is actually very, very relevant to the discussion we're going to have this evening. Tell everybody, check everything out here. And first, a few announcements here to just take a couple of seconds here. Don't forget that you can now become an affiliate, of course, of Infidel Guy. Just check out the affiliate program link there on the front page at infidelguy.com. Hey, if anybody's having trouble listening to the broadcast, make sure you inform them exactly how to go about doing that. See, some people are new in the house and not quite sure how to do this. Don't forget, we have a toll-free number here. It's 888-503-0802. And you can also join us in the chat room. Again, that's that Infidel Guy. And click on chat, and you'll see two chat rooms there. Make sure you select the one that says Infidel Guy. And post your questions in red. And I'll be more than happy to try to address your questions. And the show this evening is so relevant. And I'm telling you, I don't know how deep the rabbit hole goes with this one. This could all be a hoax. It could all be someone's imagination, and we're going to find out. The show tonight is entitled Vote Scam. Our guest is Victoria Collier. Now, Victoria Collier is a journalist, environmentalist, political activist, and daughter of James Collier, who co-authored the book Vote Scam, The Stealing of America, with his brother, Kenneth Collier, by the way. Now, Vote Scam, which has become an underground classic, chronicles their very shocking 20-year-plus investigation into computer vote fraud in this country. Since her father and uncle's death, Victoria has been speaking around the country, continuing to educate Americans about the vulnerability and easy rigging of the computer voting machines and the necessity to return to paper ballots. Welcome to the program, Victoria Collier.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Wow, votescam.com. So much to go with here. I guess since, I don't know, where do you want to start with this? Should we start with the prior election or we start with this one? I mean, what do you mean there's a vote scam? I mean,
well, if you want me to explain it, I'd have to start over 30 years ago.
Okay.
With my father and uncle's investigation. It began in 1970 in Dade County, Florida. Which many people will remember was the site of the last, well, the 2000 election fiasco. My uncle Kenneth Collier was running for Congress in Dade County in 1970, and he was rigged out of the election by the use of computers. And I will sum it up real quickly for your listeners.
All right.
Basically, the vote scam that took place in 1970 was that the networks, the media networks on election night, gave phony vote totals to the public. So when the citizens were watching the vote totals coming in on television, like most of us do, and just believing whatever numbers we see on TV, they were being duped. Those were false numbers. They were phony numbers. And the official election results, now, of course, the numbers that you see on television, they're not the official election results.
Right.
The official election results that are certified, the results are held in the Secretary of State's office in each state. Those results that same year in Florida were falsified to match the phony vote totals that the networks were giving out on election night.
Okay.
So hopefully everybody could follow that.
Yeah.
We have phony vote results from the press, and we've got falsified results at the official Secretary of State's level. And the way that they got away with it, the way they pulled it off, whoever they might be, because we really don't know for sure who exactly orchestrated it, but the way it was done, at that time, the poll workers who signed off on the voting machine results. There were thousands of poll workers. Their signatures were forged on the what was known as the canvas sheets. The canvas sheets are also the official record of the vote totals, and all of the precinct workers have to sign off, yes, I see these are the vote totals coming off of the machines. So it turns out that the canvas sheets were forged, and that was the way they did that was that a meeting was held a couple of weeks prior to the election where all poll workers were required to show up and they were required to give their signatures. So the signatures were all compiled weeks before the election, and Jim and Ken, my father and uncle, they proved all of this. This is all FBI documented evidence. The FBI, in fact, verified, they told Jim and Ken that the canvas sheets were forged. They weren't sure of it themselves. They had, it's all in the vote scam book. So that was the basic gist of the vote scam that they uncovered in 1970.
Now we have, that's public information now. We have access to that information now, you're saying?
I'm sorry?
Do we have access to that information now outside of, vote scam, the book?
What kind of information?
The evidence of the forged signatures by the poll.
Well, all of that evidence was turned over to the FBI, so the FBI, I assume, does still have that, the original evidence.
Interesting. Okay.
Of the canvas sheet. So, that, yes, certainly anybody who would attempt to track that down could likely find it unless it's been destroyed.
Okay.
Now what Jim and Ken they uncovered a lot of other forms of vote fraud when they began to investigate how they were rigged out of the election. And one of the things that they did discover over the ensuing 20 plus years that they were working on this was that that particular kind of vote scam was taking place all across the country. They began to be known as vote fraud crusaders, and people contacted them from all around the country asking them to come to their communities and investigate the way that their votes were being counted because many people smelled a rat in the vote count in their communities. For instance, the incumbents would always get back in even when people in the community were quite obviously unhappy with the way that politics was being run. Nevertheless, the independent candidates, the more radical candidates who really had a clear vision of how to reform, you know, City Hall and do the things that most citizens really want at heart is just a cleaner and fairer form of government. Those people never seem to get into office. And what Jim and Ken found out was that the particular kind of vote scam, that they ran into in Miami, other people also ran into in their communities across the country. So, this, it apparently, from what we understand, was working well for a very long time. The press is in an amazingly powerful position where they are capable of giving numbers to the public. And the public, because of our blind trust in the corporate media, will accept whatever comes across the TV screen
That's
at
right.
night.
That's
and
right.
with only a relative handful of people necessary to rig elections, it's possible, in fact, very likely that it's been taking place for a very long time, that the press gives phony vote results and the actual results are falsified.
And we're talking about before the digital age, mind you, listeners. I'm going to skip ahead because it just reminded me of what happened to me 4 years ago, just to while it's fresh on my mind here. They tried to be a little bit more careful this election, but I remember last election was as soon as I got home. I mean, I just drove past the poll. I voted. We went shopping. I came back. There were still hundreds of people outside trying to vote. It was around 7 o'clock. I get home and already Georgia has been taken by Bush. I mean, I'm on the way home and I'm hearing this. So I can imagine many other people who might even be standing in line or going to vote, if they already hear that that Georgia has lost to Bush, what's the motivation for them to go and vote anymore?
Yeah, and of course people don't question that. And what happened, a key part of this that I should explain, on that election night that my uncle was rigged out, he was watching his results come in on television like any other citizen, and he had gotten up to about 30% of the vote, and all of a sudden the newscaster came on and said, "The courthouse computer has broken down. We will not be giving you any actual vote results for the rest of the night. We'll be giving you vote projections."
Right.
So it was the vote projections that were false. And finally, the official vote totals that were certified later on, they matched up with almost 100% accuracy with the projections that the media gave on election night.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is exactly what other people report and still report to me. This, I get phone calls to this day with people saying, "I just read your book, and the exact same thing happened to me or someone I know who was running for a particular office, and all of a sudden, the courthouse computer has broken down."
Mm.
And the guy that we all knew was really going to make the change, all of a sudden, it falls behind and never gains another vote. Now, what Jim and Ken found out was that the courthouse computer was never down. In fact, according to an official press release from the Dade County Data Processing Center, not only was it never down, it was never slow. So it was a lie. That in and of itself was a lie, and this apparently was a lie that has been told all across the country, God knows how many times, or maybe God doesn't know. I forgot what show I'm on, sorry. Someone's got to know, though.
That's okay. All right, okay, where are we? So we finished, so we have a history of this going back to the 70s. Let's skip ahead now. I guess, well, you're on my show. It's you and I show, so you can skip ahead. Do what you want. Say what you want to say. I got plenty of questions, but I don't want to stomp you too tough here.
All right. Well, that's okay. Yeah, basically, there's a lot more to the vote scam investigation. I mean, it went on for about 25 years, and Jim and Ken were really pioneers in this area, because what people need to understand is that most Americans, the vast majority of Americans, have not questioned how their vote is counted for,
that's true.
You know, who knows how long, 100
years? I didn't know.
I mean, people probably were more wary a very long time ago.
Right.
We have become very brainwashed and very naive in this country, because we are taught from the beginning that somehow our politics are clean, that somehow, you know, people don't rig votes in America, that the American democratic process is clean enough to eat off of. And it's just a fallacy. It's not the truth at all. We are lied to in school, and we grow up believing that we should trust the government and the people who are in control of the government. And one of the things that we trust is the people who are counting our votes. We trust them to count them honestly. And there's no reason to do that, because these people are in a very unique position of power. They control the most fundamental lever of power in this country, which is the vote. And you can go and cast your ballot as many times as you want for whoever you want. If that vote isn't counted properly, it's worthless. So the fact that we have really happily turned away from this very time-consuming, bureaucratic, kind of boring process of vote counting and left it in the hands of a relatively small group of people, that has opened the door to fraud. And
wow.
There has not been watchdog groups in this country. People probably think there are. They probably assume that there's a lot of watchdogging of the vote counting process, but it's not true. And another problem is that people feel that the Republicans and the Democrats are legitimately competing against each other, when a lot of the time they are not. Most of the time, the Republicans and the Democrats form a one-party system, and that one party exists in order to keep other parties out.
Of course.
The Republicans and the Democrats work together, and so they have both been involved with vote rigging for many, many decades. They aid and abet vote fraud together to keep out people like Ralph Nader or Dennis Kucinich or other independent or third-party candidates.
Okay. Wow. Well, you probably heard this as well as I have. This past election, for instance, I hear that there was, I mean, MSNBC, I believe, did they had this on their website, I believe, that quite a number of counties are beginning to report that there are more Republican votes for Bush than there were registered voters.
Yes.
That's pretty scary for a system that's supposed to be pretty much dependable.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what's going on right now. Pretty much every method of voting is riggable. You can stuff, unless you have see-through plastic boxes, you can stuff ballot boxes. You know, there used to be ballot boxes specifically made to be stuffed. There's one on exhibit in the Smithsonian in Washington. I was there just recently. So, you know, vote rigging, anytime you've got any method of voting, somebody's going to sit down and think really hard about how to control that method. And as we have mechanized our vote count, over the past 50, 60 years.
Right.
We've moved away from using paper ballots and counting them by hand in public view, and we've gone further and further into the use of machines and finally computers. Now, every time we further mechanize the process, it becomes, quote, easier to count votes. You can count them faster. And voters, you know, well, Americans, we love technology, so we tend to eat up any kind of machine that somebody puts in front of us. But the other thing that has happened during this process is that it has become much easier to rig the vote count, much easier. Easier to do it in a more undetectable manner. A lot of people will complain about paper ballots when I say that we need to go back to counting paper ballots, and they'll say, well, what about all that ballot box stuffing that used to take place?
Right.
The point that they're missing is that the reason why we know about that is because it was detectable. We don't know about the other vote rigging that's been going on because we can't detect it. We can't actually watch the process any longer. Now, what's finally happened is the ultimate manifestation of the vote rigger's dream has finally come into being. It is the touchscreen voting machine. It does not have a ballot at all. It is a computer, totally computerized. All of the votes are counted inside the software that is programmed in secret. And at this point, largely by Republican-backed corporations.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that in a second, because I darn sure have some problems with that. We have a first caller. Let's see what he has to say. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, this is Brian. Just a bit of history about voter fraud. Edgar Allan Poe, they suspected he died in poverty in Baltimore. They found him outside of a polling place. And the scam was, what you would do is you would go and vote, change your clothes and your appearance, and go and vote again.
They
found Edgar Allan Poe outside of a polling place with clothes that did not fit him.
Really?
So they figured that's
never
what he was up to when they found him. He was passed out and he died, I think, the next day or something like that.
Oh, wow. If you could do it, Brian, would you have done it this election if you could have just changed clothes and vote for Kerry?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye. I haven't heard that story, have you?
No, that was new.
But yeah, back to the digital thing, right. Word has it that in Florida, it is the law that they're supposed to have, if they have to do a recount, they need paper so they can do a recount if necessary, something like that.
They changed the law.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny how they're capable of doing that, and it's going on across the country. The laws are being changed in order to allow for secret vote counting. Now, people need to be able to vote in secret, but you don't count the ballots in secret. A secret ballot count is illegal. In most states' constitutions, at least the original, before the laws have been changed, would say that the votes need to be counted in public and it needs to be done transparently so that all interested parties can verify the count was accurate and fair and honest.
That's right.
Well, it's pretty simple. This isn't rocket science. And unfortunately, though, most Americans have completely lost sight of this. They don't question these machines that they're voting on. They don't ask, how can I be sure that my vote actually was tallied correctly when I press this button and the vote goes off into the virtual realms and nobody can follow it. Meanwhile, these computers, these touch screens, and also the optical scanners that count actual paper ballots, but nevertheless it's a computer, they are manufactured by a very small group of corporations.
That's right.
Three, in fact, are the main manufacturers, Diebold, ES&S, and Sequoia. And these corporations, when you start to investigate them, you find that they are very much backed by conservative and Republican interests. They have convicted felons in top management positions.
That's right.
They're very, very sinister, and it's very unbelievable, really, that we have our election supervisors, the people who are supposed to supervise our elections, have totally abdicated that responsibility and turned over our vote to these private corporations who are unaccountable to us, but they might very well be accountable to their financial backers.
Yeah, it's interesting. I read something online that Diebold and Sequoia actually control, I'm sorry, and the other company you mentioned, I knew the three main companies control up to 80% of the computer software that the hardware that is for voting.
That software is not safe.
Right.
That software is not structured
it's
tamper-proof.
It's online.
There's so many incredible holes. It's wide open to fraud. And the central tabulators at the county level, Bev Harris of Black Box Voting, she's been going around the country doing demonstrations on, at least for the Diebold software, how exactly somebody can hack in to the central tabulators and change vote results without there being any record of the audit at all.
That's right. I hear that they use Microsoft Access or something without even a password. In fact, the software, anyone can find it online, by the way. You can find one of their products before they had to upgrade it because somebody, apparently, they don't even know who in their company, they say, someone put the program GEMS on an FTP server and it was public.
Yeah.
And everyone was downloading this software. And
and
one little factoid that I found out, maybe you can verify this, Diebold and Sequoia, I'm hearing this, that they are actually brothers, the heads of these companies.
No, it's Diebold and ES&S.
Oh, it was ES&S.
Yes.
Okay.
They are owned by two brothers. That's right. When you look at the board of directors and all of the management of these different voting machine corporations, it's extremely incestuous. There's a lot of movement from one company to another. And so really, in the end, it's like one group that is really controlling all of the voting machines they're counting the vast majority of votes in this country. And when you realize that they have the capacity to rig these machines. They have the capacity to rig them from a centralized location undetectably. We are simply being asked to believe that George Bush, that Republican interests have not taken advantage of that, that out of the angelic goodness of their nature, somehow they have allowed the opportunity to rig themselves back into office to just pass by. And it's only because this country is absolutely filled with religious fanatics that we have George Bush back in office, because that's what this country is really about. It's about people who you know, believe that gay people shouldn't marry and there shouldn't be abortions, and that's the most important thing to people in this country.
Yeah.
That's what they want
us
to believe, and it's very, very scary.
A lot
of people, in fact, are believing it, and that's what I'd like people to know, because I'm running into a lot of people on the left who voted for Kerry or even who didn't vote for Kerry but who hate Bush, and they're very disturbed to think that the majority of the country, or however many people supposedly voted for Bush, truly want him in there.
My
message is, we don't really have to believe that, because those are just the numbers that the press is giving us. Those are the numbers that are coming out of machines that could very well be rigged.
That's right. 888-503-0802. You're listening to Live with the Infidel Guy and Victoria Collier talking about, the voting process in these computers used to tabulate our votes. Now, we're not saying here necessarily that there's a scam going on, but the scam is just that the software just doesn't work. Or it's just not secure, that is. Or is it deeper than that?
It's not secure, but it's very likely that the vote was rigged. And from my background, with the understanding that I have from what my family has experienced for many decades, I can tell you that it would be shocking if the election was not rigged, because my father and uncle uncovered a tremendous amount of fraud. It wasn't a theory on their part. They had the evidence. When they went to the computer programmer in 1970, programmed the computer that came up with those vote projections that the media gave out on election night, amazing vote projections that projected the results of 240 races and 250 candidates with almost 100% accuracy. It was statistically impossible. And they asked this guy, Elton Davis, they said, how did you do it? How did you program this computer to make these perfect vote projections? Supposedly based only on the results from one voting machine. Supposedly this guy Elton Davis, this is according to the mainstream networks in Miami, supposedly their computer guy Elton Davis took the results from one voting machine in Dade County, ran it through a computer program, and spit out perfect vote totals for 250 candidates. And they said to him, all right, what's the magic formula? And his response was, you'll never prove it. Now get out.
Wow.
And now you have to realize that my father and uncle were, like, not getting rich doing this. They dove into a very dark pit in American American reality, which is vote rigging in this country. And they struggled for a very long time to make this evidence public, to bring it to the light of day. And what they found was that you can't, because the mainstream press has been involved with vote rigging. And they did have a theory about it. And you can call it a conspiracy theory, and people really need to get over that fast, because the reality is there's conspiracy in this country, a lot of it. Call it collusion if you don't like the word conspiracy, but there are a lot of criminals in government, and they're working together to maintain their power, and that pretty much is conspiracy. But my father and uncle believed that when John Kennedy was assassinated, there was a coup, that the CIA killed Kennedy and essentially took over the country, and nothing has ever been the same since then. And what happened right after Kennedy was assassinated was that the mainstream press submitted to a total lockdown where they refused to question the Warren Report. Now, that's something major that we can't continue to just push aside into some historical corner as if it's no longer important. The fact that the mainstream press never would question the validity of the Warren Report, which most people who understand anything know was completely falsified, that's important. And another thing that happened after Kennedy was assassinated was that News Election Services was created. And most people have no idea about this, but it was a consortium of all of the major news networks, all of them, including the New York Times and the Washington Post. And they came together in 1964, and they formed a pool, a network pool, and all of the vote results for president and all of the congressional vote results since 1964 have been funneled into this major network pool on election night. And that pool tallies the numbers itself in secret, and it feeds the results to all of the individual networks, and the individual networks pretend to be competing, but they're not competing. They're getting their results from one place. And most people, I mean, I'll tell you, 99.9% of them had no idea about this. Jim and Ken had no idea about this until during their years investigating vote fraud, and they started to uncover, well, how are our votes really counted? Who's really in charge of this? Well, who's really in charge of it is the press and a handful of election officials who we have no reason to trust.
Yeah, we want to believe here, and especially in the U.S., we want to believe that, hey, Fox is on the far left, and CNN seems to be the most middle ground, and MSNBC.
Fox is on the far left?
Far right. Sorry. And we don't want to believe that all of the networks are in someone's pocket. I mean, are there any networks that you recommend that our listeners can really trust for accurate information?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Absolutely not. Now, there's a lot of truth that comes out through the networks, but you will never, ever get the whole truth through the networks, and you will get a lot of lies. And what's really distressing, NPR, National Public Radio, has been seriously co-opted in recent years. And just tonight, I don't know if you heard it, but they covered this burgeoning issue of the potential vote rigging in the 2004 election. They were just trying to dismiss the charges that are on
building
the internet. They're saying, there's a lot of charges on the internet, and they had some spin person on to say, well, there's really nothing to those charges. And so it's disturbing. The fact is that the mainstream press is very much controlled, and while you will get a lot of truth at times, unfortunately, what is omitted and what is misinformation is very damaging to people's perception of reality.
Right.
So you've got to seek out information for yourself, and you have to trust in your own discerning mind to weed out what is relevant. And the internet is a great way to do that. There's a lot of false information on the internet, but
true.
There's more truth than you'll find in the mainstream
and
press.
Probably because FCC doesn't regulate it yet.
Right.
Not yet.
Yeah, we don't have official lies. We just have people's personal lies on the internet. I'll take a personal lie any day.
Wow. We got a lot of questions coming in, and I have plenty too here. Well, you talked about earlier about these. You said the projections are coming from the media, but where are they getting them from? You think it's just another guy or a couple of statisticians that got together and said, this is how it's going to go? They're claiming that they have people on the inside at almost every single voting poll, and that they're calling in these numbers when they're done to the media.
I can't say what happened this time around because a lot has changed in the past 4 years. When in 2000, most people heard for the first time about Voter News Service. If you remember,
this is my first time even hearing about Voter News Service, actually.
Well, in 2000, Voter News Service was the organization responsible for calling it for Al Gore. Remember, in Florida, first they called it for Gore,
right.
And then all of a sudden, there was this coup in Florida, and the Bush people said, "Now just hang on a second, don't you call it for Gore because we think it's Bush." And then the battle began.
Mm.
Well, now most people had never heard of Voter News Service before, and they said, "Well, who the hell's Voter News Service?" Well, it's this polling organization, they were told. The truth is, and they were also told that they only began their existence in like 1991 or 94, something like that. It was all false. Voter News Service was News Election Services, the organization that I just told you about that was started in 1964.
Wow.
They changed their name.
Really?
It's the same people. It's the same secretary, Lee C. Shapiro. It's always been the same people. And Warren Mottofsky is the main guy behind the polling that has supposedly been taking place by Voter News Service for years. And let me just clarify this for people. Voter News Service and News Election Services are essentially the same thing. And what they have been doing for ever since 1964, they have been in charge of two things. Exit polling.
Right.
All of the official media exit polling and vote tallying. They get all of the raw vote totals from the precincts and the counties
right.
on election night. That's where the precincts and the counties report to Voter News Service or News Election Services. This doesn't matter. It's the same group. And in their secret headquarters that nobody can get into, absolutely nobody, not even Geraldo Rivera could get into their secret headquarters, they do all of their tallying, and that is essentially what America looks to on election night to get all of their voting information, although they don't know that. They don't know that it's all coming from this one group.
Mm.
Now, in 2000, there was a scandal because all of a sudden it wasn't Gore, it was Bush. Now, according to Voter News Service, according to their polls, it was Gore. Now, there was a congressional investigation into Voter News Service after the 2000 election.
Right.
I tried to testify there, but they wouldn't let me. Billy Tozen was in charge of it, and his office told me that over 400 people called on my behalf asking that I testify at this phony congressional investigation, but they wouldn't let me. So all that ended up happening was that they gave Voter News Service more money and said, do a better job next time. But something happened that I have absolutely no inside information into, and at the 2002 off-year election, Voter News Service tanked, and they said, we can't, on election night, they said, our computers have gone down, everything's gone haywire, we can't provide any results, we've completely screwed up. Meanwhile, after getting however much money they were given to do a better job, something went on with them, and I don't know what it is, and then they went under, but of course they resurfaced, and it's Warren Mottofsky again.
This, in
the 2004 election, was responsible for providing the polls.
Mm.
It's always been Warren Mottofsky. He's like 75 years old now. He was doing it in 1964. He has been the guy for all of the networks to do exit polling. Now the problem is, I don't believe exit poll numbers have been honest for a very long time. However, things are changing. I think that the balance of power in the very corrupt elections administration industry in this country is really changing. And I can't tell you exactly what took place this year because I think potentially for the very first time this year we might actually be getting real exit poll numbers because we had a lot of people paying attention this year to the election. No one has ever paid attention to the election in this country the way that they did this time.
Right.
It was really incredible. I mean, there was a spotlight on vote counting what there's never been before. And I know that there were a lot of people actually doing polling, whereas in the past, even though Voter News Service claimed to have tens of thousands of people out in the field doing polling, there actually was no evidence that that was taking place at all.
Mm.
And my father and uncle felt that exit polls were the the way that the networks would give their phony projections to the public,
right,
and then just, you know, match up the results with whatever they polled. But we never could find out anything about the way the Voter News Service polled. We tried to get hired by them. We couldn't get hired by them. We couldn't find out who worked for them. You couldn't find out anything about them. They were so secretive. And then they just closed up shop. Now, this year, perhaps we actually had some real exit polls coming out. And what we're finding is that the exit polls supposedly went to Kerry. And in the places, in the counties where actual ballots were counted,
right,
the numbers seem to coincide with those exit polls. Now, I'm just watching the numbers getting crunched now. This is going to be a process that's going to go on for probably some weeks, where people are taking all this data and all the polling numbers and all the precinct tallies and the county tallies, and they're doing statistical analysis, and they're trying to see what looks right and what looks wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is still coming in now, and I'm not – I am – quite positive in my own self that the election was rigged, and that it was rigged for the benefit of Republicans across the board from the county levels all the way up to the president. And it's not surprising, because the machines are under the control of Republican corporations.
That is, you know, it's interesting you say that, under the control. I think, of course, we have a lot of skeptics who say, well, how do you know this? But there was like a slip up by the president of Diebold. In fact, this is all over the internet. In fact, one of the spokespersons for Diebold actually apologized for the president making a statement.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he said, I'm paraphrasing here, during some kind of party or something celebrating the Bush's nomination or whatever, he told Bush essentially that, you can count on my company to provide Bush the electoral votes that he needs to win this election.
Well, I think it was a letter. It was Walden O'Dell as the CEO of Diebold, and I believe it was a letter that he wrote, and it did say that he was committed to delivering Ohio, the votes for Ohio, which, in fact, that seems to be what happened. the thing is, it's not really none of this is it's not too much conjecture. You can find out who, in fact, controls these corporations, who is their management, who's on their board of directors. All of these people are strong conservative supporters, strong Republican supporters, strong Republican donors, and far more for the conservatives than the liberals. I mean, I know that the Democrats and the Republicans have been rigging elections in this country for decades. However, it does seem at this point that the Republicans have gained the upper hand, because there's just a handful of voting machine corporations, and they are largely controlled by Republicans. And we're seeing the results of that.
That's right.
The Republicans, despite the fact that they're driving this country into the ground, that they're destroying the Constitution, dismantling the Constitution, that they're killing our brothers and sisters and sons and daughters for oil in the Middle East, despite all of these things, and despite the fact that millions of jobs have been lost and the economy is in the toilet, and other pretty valid, you know, concerns that people would have, Republicans and incumbents in general won hands down across the board in this last election. And when the incumbents win, that's a clear sign from the electorate that they're happy. They want more of the same. And that's what Bush wants people to believe. That's what all these people want the rest of the world to believe, that America is happy with the way it's being governed and what's going on. And that's absurd.
You have some people in the chat room here saying, there's no such thing as a Republican company. Come on. And now some people are like, really? How about Enron? Fox? they're just going down the list. But
You just got to look at the individuals a company is nothing without the people behind it.
Exactly.
So
that's a good point.
The people who run the company.
That's a very good point. I you better believe Chick-fil-A was for Bush this whole way. You better believe it. So, Chick-fil-A brags about their Christian roots, and they even discriminate if you're not a Christian. I know for a fact, because I know people that work in Chick-fil-A, and they can't say what they believe, and they try to drag it out of you. And even when they interview you to come in, they ask you, are you a Christian? If you say no, they are not going to hire you. So you better believe. Are there any Republican companies out there? Yeah, Chick-fil-A. So I'm pretty sure if Chick-fil-A can do it, there's no doubt in my mind that just logically speaking, we could have much more powerful companies and corporations as well that have their obvious leanings.
Well, the thing is, people have got to ask themselves, do they want their votes to be counted by corporations in general? I don't care who's behind them.
Right.
I mean, is this something that America is okay with? Because if it is, then we deserve exactly what we're getting, which is that our country is being taken over by corporate interests. Our national sovereignty has already been sold out to the World Trade Organization, which is a corporate organization controlled by corporations for corporations.
Right.
If this is what America wants, then they should just sit back and relax, because that's what's happening. And the only way that we have any control over our government is through our vote. That's it. There's nothing else. I mean, we can take to the streets and riot. They'll beat us over the head and put us in jail.
Right.
It doesn't get us anywhere. They've got more guns than we do. We can't
right.
do that. We have to be able to vote these people out of office
but
when they're not representing our interests.
Catch-22, though, here. If the machines are not counting the votes correctly, I mean, it's possible that someone could manipulate them in any way they can and give the appearance that the citizens want something that they really don't want.
Well, that's exactly what I feel has happened, and it's been happening for a long time, but this past election was the most, because I know as much as I do, when I saw the numbers and I saw that they were going to give it to Bush from the very beginning, I just felt sick. I just
right.
felt sick inside, because I think right now it's such a turbulent time in this country, and people are so unhappy. And people
right.
who dislike Bush and everything that Bush stands for, they
right.
feel so strongly about it, and they are so scared for what is happening in this country
right.
that for them to believe that they are the minority, or that there are many, many, many
exactly.
people out there
right.
who really love, and no doubt Bush got votes. It's not like he
of
didn't get
he
votes.
Did.
There are enough ignorant lunatics out there
that's
who
right.
would vote for Bush, or
right.
people who, maybe they're ignorant, and maybe they're a lunatic. Maybe they're both. Who knows? But those are largely the people who are going to vote for Bush.
Yeah,
they don't know what
yeah.
this guy stands for, or they're just, they are truly religious fanatics, but there are not as many of them as we are now being told to believe. And they don't have control over the morals of the country. And we don't have to just, you know, bow down to the will of these people
right.
or to the will of the corporations who are in control
mm-hmm.
of our voting machines. And if we believe that the election wasn't rigged, if we believe that this is what the country really wants, then we're going to get very depressed and very despondent. And a lot of people are going to leave the country because they can't take it here
that's
anymore.
Right. 888-503-0802, call in. We're talking about vote scam right now. And don't forget to type in your questions and whatnot in the chat room, because we're with Victoria Collier, and we're talking about a lot of things here. And I'm going to talk about, really quickly, another reason, too, why a lot of people tend to vote for Bush that keeps coming back to me. And also another interesting factoid is that the majority of people I talk to aren't for Bush, so I really don't know where how all these numbers came down. But anyway, is that they're worried about our national security and things like that. And they really think he can somehow stabilize the world, even though that's not what we're seeing. And, you know, it's just amazing that even some of the people that I think are even the most critically thinking people, and especially after what we've seen him do to our civil liberties, the way the man despises homosexuals. To me, there's just no doubt about it. His father hates atheists. I'm pretty sure he taught him the same thing. I'm an atheist. I'm a non-believer, so I'm pretty sure Bush doesn't have any soft spots in his heart for the non-believer or the non-Christian. He has, I think he really wants to push his beliefs on the rest of America, and he does it through policy. He claims he doesn't, but he does it through policy. And it's really beginning to disturb me.
Well, if you can call it Christian, I mean, if Christianity is guided by the teachings of Christ, and Christ said, love your enemy and don't kill anyone, I don't understand how this is Christianity.
That's a very good point. And that's one of the arguments I use all the time for Christians
yeah,
who say they voted for him.
I want that bumper sticker that says, who would Jesus bomb?
Right, right.
I mean, it's
yeah, exactly.
a good question. But, yeah, I mean, there certainly are Bush supporters out there. But the thing is, the Democrats, and I don't support either party, but the Democrats mobilized tremendously. I mean, it was quite a show of force, and I was certain that if the popular vote was accurately counted and honestly counted, Kerry would have won by a landslide. And that doesn't mean that Bush didn't get
That's
a
right.
lot of votes,
you
but
know,
I felt
yeah.
in just from what I saw out there, and I know how unhappy people are in this country and how not just unhappy, but literally and justifiably scared of the Bush administration. People were desperate to get him out. People were registering to vote who never voted in their lives. Republicans were going to vote Democrat just to get Bush out of office. People who were longtime Ralph Nader supporters were furious with Nader for running because even though they support Nader, all they wanted was to get Bush out of office. And somehow, nevertheless,
wow,
these ridiculous numbers come forward. And because people don't understand about how easily the votes can be rigged,
not at all,
then they don't know. Then all they can do from that point on is try to justify it to themselves.
They don't know.
And then the media steps right in to make that real easy for you.
That's right.
Let's explain, how did Bush win? And then every spin doctor in the press comes forward and starts to explain how Bush won, and we'll believe it. I mean, they could say anything they want to us, and we really have no choice but to believe it. What else can we do
except
start to investigate it ourselves?
Let's look at 2000, for instance. I know in Georgia here, Cynthia McKinney was very skeptical about the moving to complete digital system for voting, and I believe she had a particular election that she ran in 2000, and she actually took the time to go around to all the polling stations.
Uh-huh.
Wow, and it was amazing what she was discovering as she was driving around to these different polling stations. Computers were glitching, some just didn't work, power was out at another. I mean, just, and in fact, before I forget here, those listening right now, don't forget to check out VoterGate.tv. VoterGate.tv. Check out, there's a movie, there's a documentary about the 2000 election and how these computers completely screw up. In fact, you can hit, you can click the person that you're voting for and it'll actually register someone else.
And an important point here, and I should also say my website is votescam.com.
Mm-hmm.
But an important point, too, that people need to understand is that having the computer print out a receipt,
yes,
is not the answer.
Really?
No.
Well, I think, well, this is what I imagine if the receipt prints out. Okay, we get a copy, we get a receipt. It says what our vote was for, and what number we voted, as far as where were we? Where we? I was vote number 8,007, and someone behind me has vote 8,008. I mean, I don't know. It'd be kind of too risky.
So all of us have to wander the streets trying to verify that the guy in front of us and the guy behind. I mean, there's no. Unfortunately, that doesn't work either. The problem is that it's a false sense of security because the computer can print out, sure, here's your receipt. You voted for Kerry. Okay, now you feel great. You go home. You have absolutely no idea if that vote was counted accurately inside the computer
with all of the other ones. You're right.
It doesn't take much, according to any computer scientist you'll talk to.
Right.
They'll tell you.
It doesn't
take much to make a computer spit out one thing and tally another thing, especially
mm-hmm.
when the computers have modems in them and they can be accessed from
outside, in the middle
of the election,
or as soon
as it closes, or who knows what. You don't know because those computers
are totally
open to manipulation.
Well, actually, something that completely backs up what you're saying is also in 2000, there was one precinct they went to go to check out the machine, and there was a poll worker, and she stated that the machines that they were using, when you vote, it actually would print out a receipt, but the customer doesn't get it, but they see it. The poll worker can see the receipt as it prints out into the box.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that at the end of the day, she said when she was looking at the results, during the election, as she was looking at the results as they came out, she noticed that they weren't the same on the paper as they were on the screen. And she asked the guy in charge, the administrator, she said, excuse me, the numbers that people are putting in the machine are not coming out of the same on this paper. And he said, don't worry about it, just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, people have no idea really what it's like to actually, the process of having to question the vote count. Now, that woman or man, whoever it was, what is open to them now that they've seen that happen? Where can they go
and
complain? Because the election supervisors, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that. Okay, there's no one in power who wants to hear that and do something about it. So when you are forced into a position where you as a voter or as a poll worker has to fight to have the votes accurately counted and has to, try to get the computers to be, examined by who? I mean, it's like this doesn't work. This doesn't work to actually safeguard our vote count. There are a lot of people out there who will tell the same kind of story that you just told, and they don't have recourse. They don't have any place to go with that information. And, the voting machine companies and the election supervisors and secretaries of state who purchase them, they seem to have a vested interest, for whatever reason, in not questioning the accuracy of the numbers that come out of these machines. So the power structure is not set up so that people who see anomalies and problems with the machines actually have recourse and an easy way to, fix the problem, or even if there even is a way to fix the problem. Mostly the votes they just disappear inside these computers. So we're seeing a lot of that kind of thing. People called from all across the country, various hotlines on election day saying, hey, I voted for Kerry and it registered for Bush, or the machine went off in the middle of the election and some guy came along and pushed some buttons and it came back on, and then who knows what happened.
Exactly.
Inside the machine.
In fact, Diebold does that. For those who don't know, Diebold will do that. If there's a computer problem, they will simply reboot it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that data is not there. So,
and
you can read this yourself, guys.
There were votes already on the machines when they booted them up, ready to go before anyone cast a ballot.
Really?
So all of these things combined make it so that we have no reason to trust these results. We just don't have any reason to trust it. So when Bush struts around crowing about his new mandate to wage war all over the world, we don't have to sit back there and say, okay, well, I guess you're right. I guess we have to let you go do that now. We don't have to do that. He doesn't have a mandate. What he has is an election that is full of holes and full of the very real possibility that it was rigged, totally rigged by his Republican backers in Diebold, ES&S, and Sequoia.
Okay, now this is the main question coming from the chat room that a lot of people are really hopping on here. They're saying, wow, she's making a lot of claims. But can she either provide some evidence right now on the air, or is it possible, because we have a lot of hearsay here, or can she also point us in the direction, certain websites, et cetera, that we can go to find out the truth about this in the research?
Are you talking about actual voting anomalies at this particular election?
Yes,
yeah,
for one.
The main, there are many websites. My website is mainly about the vote scam book, but I'll give you these websites to go to, and there are probably some others as well. The main one is blackboxvoting.org, and that is Bev Harris's website. And she is filing the largest Freedom of Information Act request in the history of the act right now.
Okay. What's this about?
And she is really the lead investigator on this, and everybody is funneling information her way. So go to blackboxvoting.org. Also, let's see, I'll give a few good websites, votersunite.org. And also, I know that a lot of information is being funneled through democraticunderground.org. There's also a woman named Linda Shade, who has been fighting against these voting machines, the touchscreen voting machines in Maryland. And I think her website is truevote.org, but I'm not totally sure about that. But she is also working with Ralph Nader right now, and Ralph Nader is filing for a recount in New Hampshire, a manual recount in New Hampshire right now, and Linda's working with him. And between all of these websites, I'm not totally sure where all the numbers are being compiled right now,
right,
but there
are
a lot of people crunching the numbers from Ohio and from Florida and Pennsylvania and New Hampshire, and we need some people in New Mexico to start doing that. All the data is coming in now, so I'm kind of waiting for the dust to settle, because already the elections officials are coming out and saying, well, to all these people who are compiling the data, they're saying, well, these aren't the official numbers yet. And so, you can't really make these claims yet, because the numbers are going to change soon, and already they are changing, in fact. So, but that's very questionable.
That's right.
I mean, we're supposed to trust now that all the election supervisors say, no, these are the numbers, these are the real numbers. Well, who the hell says that they're the real numbers? Who's actually counting these votes? It's just a free-for-all at this point, as far as I can see it. Anybody who's in control of these digital numbers can be putting them out to the public, and we are just supposed to accept that it's true. But anyway, I'm not going to go rattle off numbers from precincts on this show. I don't have them memorized. So
okay,
if people want to find out the actual numbers, then mm-hmm. go to these websites, and they're probably listed there.
That's true. excuse me. And don't forget, guys, you can actually do a Google search, simple Google search for some of the claims they're making and get some information on that, some from reputable sources. It's not just a conspiracy UFO website stuff we're talking about here.
No.
Because I was a true diehard skeptic about this going into it. I don't know much about computers. And after watching the Votergate documentary and after doing some reading and more articles are beginning to come up online about this, and there are people who are in charge of polling stations or who are working at polling stations, they're beginning to come out and talk about things that have happened and are happening.
Yeah.
And I just can't blow it off anymore as it's just some weird conspiracy theory and it should be ignored.
You know, but what I can't understand is why... I mean, I've grown up with this, so, you know, there was never a point in my life where I was skeptical. You know, to me, it's common sense. If you've got an election, someone's going to try to rig it. What I want to understand is what has happened to us in this country where we've become so naive that
right.
we would think that vote rigging is a weird conspiracy theory. People have always rigged elections. It's like there's probably... In the history of elections in the universe, probably 80%
right.
of them have been rigged, you know?
Right.
It's the seat of power. I mean, my God. And when you have a country as powerful as ours where the stakes are as high as they are, and the votes are counted by computer, and the computers are counted in, the votes are counted in secret by corporate-controlled
right.
computers,
right.
anybody with a brain in their head would say, hold on a second here, this is rife with the potential for fraud. Why is it that so many people say, oh, this is impossible, oh, it's just crazy conspiracy
mm-hmm.
theory, and we're not talking about aliens, we're not talking about, this is, you know, and we're
right,
talking
right.
about the simple human nature. People that are criminals out there, you know, and when they
think
of what is at stake with these elections, it's an incredible,
yeah.
incredible power, incredible money. Do we really believe that the people who are in power are going to leave it up to us to decide who gets to keep their power? It's just ridiculous. If we're that naive, then, you know, we deserve to go down with this ship.
You know, for instance, like when we later discover that major multi-billion-dollar corporations are evading taxes, doing something, well, I mean, obviously, they've been doing it for years. Who's been watching their back? Somebody has, and somebody just happened to just... dropped the ball that time and they got caught. You're right.
Yeah.
Somebody big are watching these guys. And again, if it can happen at these levels, I'm sure it can happen. Now, we only have a minute left and I got two more things I want to say to you, then I'll let you close here. But, quickly, to the listeners too, you can also do some research as a woman in Florida looking at she's crunching all the numbers. And again, I mentioned this in the beginning of the show, but I know some of you just tuned in, so I want to say this again. I can't remember her name. I didn't write it down. I apologize. But look it up. Look at what's happening in Florida. There's a woman crunching the numbers there, and apparently there are quite a number of polls reporting that they have more votes for Kerry than they actually had registered voters.
You mean more votes for Bush?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. More votes for Bush than they actually had registered voters in that area, in that precinct. So
mm-hmm.
that is really interesting that this is coming out. Now, that alludes to this question. Earlier, you mentioned something about the Democrats and the Republicans working together to oust third-party candidates. Now, didn't you find it odd, and I want your opinion on this, Kerry conceding the election
yes.
so quickly?
Yes. Well, no, I didn't find it odd, but, you know, a lot of other people did. You know, I will, two things. People should read the Vote Scam book to get the full story. You can read the first 8 chapters on votescam.com. There's another book people should read. It's called Indispensable Enemies, and it's by Walter Karp. And it's about the Democrats and the Republicans and how they work together to maintain their power in this country. And it's really a brilliant book. So if this is sort of a new concept to people, it would be a good thing for them to educate themselves, because this two-party system is really what is driving us into the ground. It's destroying the country, and in fact it's destroying the planet.
Right.
And until we do something about it and recognize it for what it is, we won't understand what is going on. That people are confused, and rightly so. They're confused. Why did Kerry roll over so quickly? Well, listen, Kerry is a skull and bonesman, and Kerry is part of the two-party/one-party system, you know, we've got to recognize that the main purpose of both the Democrats and the Republicans are to maintain the power that they already have, and whether they win the presidency or lose the presidency, they still maintain the same kind of power structure. So that you got to read the book, Indispensable Enemies. It's really good.
Okay, and what can we do, though? You keep saying we need to do something. Everybody wants to know, well, what can we do? You've alarmed us now, so what can we do?
We've all got to start, number one, looking at these election results. There more people are needed, statisticians who are out there. If there's anybody who has any skill in this area, there are only a few people right now who have a lot of number crunching to do. And if there's anyone else out there who can join in and start analyzing this data, because people, what we really need to do is demand recounts in areas where there are ballots to be recounted, where they used optical scanners. That we can't just don't let this election go by and roll over and accept the results. You don't have any reason to do that, but you have a lot of reason to question the results. We need
That's
to
right.
keep on questioning, and we need to write into our newspapers and local television stations and say, don't just blow this off.
That's right, and call radio stations.
Listen to the people who have concerns. Start reporting on it. Start, opening this up to discussion in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first and foremost important thing to do, and just continue to educate yourself. Read the Vote Scam book. Read Black Box Voting. Learn the truth about who controls elections before you write it off as conspiracy theory.
That's
just
right.
ignorant. That's just reactionary.
And finally, we have someone in UK that just has one question. He's like, before I go, he's been asking the whole time, and he's interested in asking you this. He says, surely computer ballots demand too much trust of the voters in the system. Why does she think Americans accept the system? And cannot the system be challenged in the courts so that it becomes mandatory to return to paper votes?
That's
paper ballots?
The next step. Legal action is very definitely the next step. And the answer to the first part is that nobody asked us.
that's right. that's true. They went right over our heads.
Yeah.
They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make it easier for you. And yep, we didn't get a chance to even critically think about or analyze it, especially if you work in the computer field. Normal user end people are like, well, cool. Everything else in life is faster with a computer, so maybe this will make it quicker too.
Listen, Americans are largely ignorant, but
yeah.
we can change that by educating ourselves. And, people don't tend to question technology too much, but, there are appropriate uses of technology, but counting votes in secret with computers is not one of them.
That's right. All right, well, thank you very much for appearing on the program, Victoria. I had a great time. I learned a lot. And I think you gave our listeners a lot to think about here. And okay, what's that again? VoteScam.com?
VoteScam.com. BlackBoxVoting.org, not .com. Wait. Oh, God,
yep.
I can't remember now. There, one
yep,
of them
yep,
is
black...
the right site, and the other one
okay.
is not. There's
okay,
a .com and an .org. I think it's .org is the right site.
All right, we'll check both of them then.
No, go. I think it's .org. So, anyway, thanks for having me on, and I won't say God be with you or anything, but have
well,
a good day. How about that?
All right, you too. Thank you very much. Good night.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, vote scam. There's a lot to learn, a lot to find out. We definitely need to either revise or get rid of this system because there's a lot happening right now, guys. Keep your ears to the ground. Great show. Too bad. I was hoping someone would call in who knows a lot about the electoral process and the history as well, but it's kind of hard to disagree with her. Some of her other things might have been merely conjecture, but it's hard to disagree with the fact that this electronic system, has some problems. Thank you for listening, everyone. I'll see you another time, and we're going to end with a song called by Irv and Sam entitled Oh Melissa, In Reason.
Now I know the meaning of Samson pushed away. We call the house, knowing you'll be there. Line was busy, we know why. Sometimes it's just not fair. You found Melissa. Someday, and I swear someday we'll take him back to where he belongs. Back to where you